New Testament reading is from Paul's first letter to the church in Rome, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God, empowered by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles the obedience from faith for his name's sake. And you are also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child in spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace, and missed her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from all their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he knew him, Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated.
So God impart. Thank you, Ashley. I love that. Let us pray. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship openly without fear. We thank you that the one we worship is the one eternal, the one and true God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pray this morning that through your Holy Spirit, you would open our minds and our hearts. I pray that this morning you would forgive me my sins. They are many. I'm here to see Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. So we are at the end of the series. It definitely did go the way that I had planned. Of the names of Jesus. And we'll look at some more of those names as we go through next week. But it was interesting because as I read this morning's devotion, Viola, and I know some of you have been following it, and some of you are probably, as I often am, are delayed a day or two by the time you get to it. This morning's was interesting. And I was reminded that the three names that we're going to discuss should bring upon us a sense of awe. A sense of discomfort, even a sense of fear. So as we progress through this morning, I'd like you to keep that in mind. So we look this morning at the three names that remain. And I'm missing the page. That's okay. I think I can remember it. So, it's gotten picked up in my bulletin. So, the three names we have this morning, we're going to take a look at regarding especially the emphasis on the Old and New Testament relating to this fulfillment, this new Christ that is coming. Now, the Lord himself makes an assurance to us. The Lord himself in Isaiah this morning, as we read, said that there will be a virgin who will bring forth a child. That child will be called Emmanuel. But Isaiah had something else to say about that. He said that to the king, Ahaz, as you heard in this morning, Ahaz was worried about the Babylonians that were coming. The Assyrians had already taken over the northern kingdom. And Isaiah comes to him and says, why do you turn to the Lord? And in essence, what Ahaz says is, I don't trust him. Wow. I don't trust him. And I thought about that. I thought, how horrible. And then at that point in time, the Holy Spirit said, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to clear through it as well. The Holy Spirit says, and you do? Oh, yes, I always, well, I guess most of the time, I try to trust. To get real harsh about Ahaz, and him saying, no, I'm not going to go to the Lord because I don't trust that he'll do it. How often do we not trust the Lord to do the right thing? It's hard. Boy, is it hard. I mean, if we're really, really honest, it's hard. Because sometimes we don't think that the Lord is going to do what. Now, that's a valid thing. Because the Lord actually knows better, even though sometimes we don't think he knows better. So Isaiah then says to Ahaz, okay, then hear this, O house of David, is it too little for weary men that you weary my God also? Now you see, Ahaz wanted to establish an alliance with the Assyrians. And you just need up and go, really? These are the people who came in and devastated the northern kingdom. Your fellow tribes of Israel took them into captivity, laid waste to the land. And you want to have an alliance with them. Well, yeah, because the Babylonians are really bad. Okay? How much worse can it be that your land is laid waste? Women and children and old men and old women are killed. Those who had any value in the eyes of the Assyrians are taken off. But no, don't go to the Lord. Don't go to the Lord. Go to the Assyrians who did that and see if they'll have to help you against the Babylonians. This emphasis of a lack of trust is amazing. So Isaiah says this, and in the process gives us a prophecy that is so important. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, you've heard me say that oftentimes in the Old Testament, it says the Lord himself. And some people think, in fact, Spellcheck thinks, that I should put himself in there. It's like it. But there's a reason for it. There's a reason that the Lord says the Lord himself will do this. Because who else can you put assurance in more than the Lord himself? He is going to assure this. That behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Matthew tells of the fulfillment of that prophecy and the specificity of it. in verse 23 of Matthew 1. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, in Matthew, the Greek is Emmanuel. Actually, if you want to pronounce it Greek, it's Emmanuel. The emphasis, or the emphasis, is on the last syllable. And Matthew defines its meaning for us, so we don't have to go and look. He says, Metemun o Theos. That means God with us. Matthew say, here's the meaning. Don't bother looking it up. Don't bother waiting for the pastor to tell you. I'm going to tell you. But a little bit of confusion. How is it that we spell Emmanuel? Do we spell it with an E or an I? Well, in the Hebrew, it's actually two words. It's not one word, Emmanuel. It is, first of all, Imanu. And the second word is El. Now, the first word means of fellowship and companionship. Aid. The second word you already know because we've talked about that many times. El, in the transliteration of it, means God. Times, most of the time in the Hebrew, it means God with a little g. Could be Malach, any of the pagan gods. But, sometimes the word also has other prefixes and suffixes. In this case, it has a prefix. Imanu, fellowship and companionship. So this becomes then the word for God. The one true God. The sovereign creator is visible and invisible. And two words together, it means God with us. The one true God in fellowship and companionship with us. Now, if that doesn't send chill down your back, I need to say it again. God, the one true God, the creator of nothing, is saying that he is going to come, be in fellowship and companionship with us. You see, when Matthew says it, it comes off too clean. It comes off almost clinical. It's not just God with us. It's not like, oh, there goes God walking down the street. That's really cool. No. It's God walking alongside you, with you. We won't get to it, obviously, here, but it's similar to the two men who were walking to Emmaus. They're walking along, and all of a sudden, this man is beside them. And this man starts telling them about the Christ from the Old Testament, from the Scriptures, and what he must suffer. And at some point, when they stop and they go to have a meal, they realize it was Jesus. They were walking along the road with God. God with us, conversing with us. How'd it work today? How'd that telephone conversation with the person that you're concerned about go? How'd school go today? How'd the time go with your granddaughter who's come to see you? He's there talking with you about this alongside you. And why has he come to bring us physical fellowship and companionship? What is it we require? Well, we're sin and the prospect of death and evil and an uninterrupted cycle of love that lead to nothing unless you have Christ. So the next time you think about that name, Emmanuel or Immanuel, think about the fact of that it is God and companionship with you. That's why he came. Second, if the first day name for us today is Emmanuel, the second name is Son of the Most High. Take a look at Luke 1, 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. In the first week, we addressed the name Son because in the sense of for unto us a son is born. That told us that Jesus would be a male infant. But Luke takes this much further. This is even before the birth, and the angel brings the message from God. Luke 1, 30 and 31. He says to Mary, this teenage girl, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus." Now, what Mary is hearing, I'm going to kind of visualize. Blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute, this is an angel speaking. What did he say? He said, "I'm going to conceive. And I'm going to give birth to a baby boy. And I'm going to name him Jesus." He leaps over 33 years and offers Mary a picture of the future. He will be great. Autos es en megas. Megas. By the way, that's where we get the word mega. The office mega. Mega in. However, in the Greek, it truly does mean as a superlative, being relatively superior in importance to whatever else you're comparing it. In several, such as this particular verse, it relates to the Messiah. And then the angel Gabriel goes one more step further. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. That must have really just... Mary's going, wow. And you read the verses along, and it sounds like all this happens so neatly, and so nicely, without interruption. Yeah, I don't think it that way. That's just me. I don't have any scriptural basis for it. But I'm thinking about what's going on in this open area with vision that this teenage Mary has. Wow. Greek for called, klethesate. Now the base for that word means to identify by name. So what it says, Jesus will be identified by name as the Son of Yahweh, the second person of God. And by the way, I want you to know, I got really got excited when I realized that it doesn't say he will become the Son of the Most High. Because it's a different Greek word. That would be genesco. It says he already is, but will be thereafter identified or called the Son of the Most High. He's telling Mary all of this. Third, if the first name for us is Emmanuel, and if the second name is Son of the Most High, the third name for us today about Jesus is Son of God. I think Mary holds her own with the angel. Probably better than most of us. For me, there would definitely be a gap in the angel's greeting. Because they would have to get me up and revive me. And I would have to go, okay, this is really happening. But Mary holds her own. All the information that she has to process, it finally comes to the bottom line. Conceive, baby boy, Jesus, Son of the Most High. Wow. I have a feeling, and I'm going to put this in the vernacular for you, that Mary, after absorbing all that, looks and says, look, Gabe, can I call you Gabe? I mean, we have been talking about some pretty intimate stuff here. Gabe, how can all this be? Because I may be a teenager, but I did take biology. And I know virgins don't have babies. To which Gabe says this. Luke 1:35. The Holy Spirit will come on, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God. I think that at that point, Mary's faith takes over. It has to. It's not to handle. I wonder if Mary had been reading in the scriptures and his prophecy when all this happens. And it comes back to her. Or maybe the Holy Spirit just brings it to mind. She's a smart young woman, or God wouldn't have chosen her. She assesses the situation and realizes that the Most High, that Yahweh, can do anything. By the way, in the New Testament, you see the Most High, that's the expression that they put into the Greek, because there isn't a nation for Yahweh into the Greek. She knows Genesis 1. She's the scriptures. The young girls don't get to learn the scriptures. That's not true, by the way. Why is it not true? Who do you think teaches the children when they're at a point to be taught? The mothers. So do the mothers just all of a sudden, once they've had kids, I know the scriptures. No, they've been girls. Mary knows. And after all, after you've been greeted by and seen an angel, had an interactive conversation with that angel, Mary's going, why wouldn't I be the one that he chooses to be the medium for God becoming a human? I do think it took her a while to fully grasp the enormity of this. Son of God. The Greek is euios theo, Huios Theo. It means what it says, and it says what it means. Huios means son. And Theo means God. But most often, Huios refers to someone who is the progeny of a mother or son. And this does happen with Jesus. I'll give you an example. In Mark 6:3, the people of Nazareth, just after Jesus has declared himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, they look around and they start asking one another questions. They say, "Isn't this the carpenter?" And closed the shop and gave it over to his brothers. And I heard he was out preaching, and he's good. Boy, he's good. But isn't this Mary's son, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? They took offense at him. Now let me tell you, I think they were offended. Because they thought they knew who he was, and they didn't really. See, they knew the presumptions of him. I think that's one of the biggest dangers of being in the town that you grew up in and staying there, is that what knows about you is what they saw as you were growing up. For me, if I had stayed, they'd say, "Oh, that's Al's kid." You know, and who is his uncle? And he's one of the Savias. That wasn't really who I was. That's who they presumed me to be. In Daniel 5, Nebuchadnezzar gets his introduction to the one living God. You'll see why I'm quoting this in a moment. He thrown Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. Hopefully you've heard that. You should read it sometime. Good story. And they're dancing around in the fiery furnace. By the way, the furnace is so hot that the people who threw them in were incinerated. Not caught fire, not burned to death, they were incinerated. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God's." Nebi had no idea, that's what his friends called him, Nebi. Nebi had no idea of who the real God was. He was the polytheism. But look at what he says after he sees this fourth man. He calls to Nebuchadnezzar and approached and got not too close to the opening of the furnace. Shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." He didn't know Yahweh. So in this case, the Hebrew uses those two words, Most High God, those three words. He says, "Come here, servants of the Most High God." He's almost there. He's almost there because he doesn't realize it was, in fact, the Son of God who was there protecting. The demons know who Jesus is. They knew when they approached him in Matthew 8:29. "What do you want with us?" They said, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" The disciples figured it out. Jesus comes walking on the water. Peter goes, "Hey, I'd like to try that." Jesus says, "Come on." Peter does, and he fails. And the scripture says this, "And when they climbed into the boat," that is Peter and Jesus, "the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are Huios, the Son of God.'" contemporary song called Mary Did You Know. It's a beautiful song, and certainly it brings things to the fore regarding the humanity of Mary. But this morning I want you to know that while Mary may not have fully understood or comprehended everything, the extent of who her son was or would be, she did know three things. We know this. She knew that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. She knew it was God. She knew Jesus was God from the moment she walked away from Gabriel. She also knew that his name was Son of the Most High. She knew that because Gabriel had told her that that's who he was. And she also knew that his name is the Son of God. Amen.